Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, it's this. Sorry. My bad. Go on. Go ahead, Sam. I'm gonna zip it.
You gotta pee?
Nope.
All right. On today's episode of Nothing Major, first episode of the year. It's a fun episode. We've got some bold takes from the four of us. We're gonna go over things that have peaked, not tennis related, just anything that has peaked. We're gonna talk about the United Cup. We got Brisbane underway, Hong Kong underway. Let's get going. All right, everyone, we're back. First of the year. The two-week hiatus is over. Hopefully, everyone enjoyed those couple episodes, the last couple Fridays of the best moments of the year, fun interviews of the year. We are back. I got John Isner, Jack Sock, Steve Johnson, Charlie Fox, and the team at SIFT. How's everyone doing? I mean,
Happy New Year.
But happy New Year. That's what they say. That'll go on for another month in tennis.
Yeah, at least. At least mid-February.
That's true.
It's out of control in the tennis world.
It's too much.
I mean, if you don't see someone in Australia, if you just happen to not run into them, or maybe someone was hurt, and then the first time you see them is March, they'll give you a happy new year.
Yeah. I'm not afraid.
I'm done. Obviously, today's Monday. Yesterday was my last day of saying happy new year.
Yeah. I think we talked about this before. Maybe it's like a 3-day grace period of happy new year, and then no more.
I'll accept a week if you tell me happy. Yeah, but I'm done now.
All right. That's
what's the over on the all goods? How are your holidays and preseasons down in Australia right now?
I mean, it's got another 3 weeks of life amongst tennis players.
At least.
Yeah.
You haven't seen people, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Few updates. We're going to do another bracket challenge like we were doing last year. But this one for the Australian Open, it's going to be ATP and WTA. So that's going to be fun. So look for that in the next couple of weeks to fill those out. Also, we've got some upcoming guests. We filmed, although we took a couple of weeks off, we were working during the off season here. We've got a Lerner Tien interview coming out this Friday. I know a lot of people wanted that. That's a fun one. And then the following Friday, we have, I guess, an interview, if you want to call it, but we kind of like collab. We did a thing with the Players Box with Jen Brady, Jessica Pegula, Madison Keys, and Desiree Krychek.
I feel like you're getting better already on pronunciation.
Close enough. So we got that. Another little, update. Stevie and I are filming another pros versus amateur challenge. We're actually filming it this week against our sponsors, against a couple of, I think a man and a woman that work at Tennis Warehouse. So that's going to be fun. Look for that. That'll probably be out. That'll probably take us, honestly, 3-4 weeks to edit and get out there. But look for that. That's going to be fun. If anyone has a good idea for handicaps, let us know. Last time, remember, it was 40 love for the amateurs every game. These amateurs, I think, might be a little better. If anyone has any ideas, let us know. Also, we got more new merch at Tennis Warehouse. I know our merch sold out, but we've got new stuff coming, so look for that. Also, ideas of what we should make next. Jack, what do you think we should make next? You're like our best merch guy. I know, like, we've got hoodies, the hats.
Yeah, I think the Q-zip should be in there at some point. Like,
and a Q-zip, for those that don't know it, what is
a quarter zip? I think we got.
You should know that, Samuel.
I think a little Q-zip's probably in there. A lot of males and females, but a lot of males, especially great golf course. You wear it out there. You can wear it to a dinner. You can wear it again. You can dress up. You can dress it down. You can wear it casually. You can wear it formal. It's got a lot of variety. So I think a Q-zip's in our future. Also a great thing to wear to a tennis event if you go watch.
All right, look for a Q-zip. We're going to get a Q-zip out there. Also, for our own show, we'll give you more updates throughout the month. We're going to bring back some segments that we've done in the past, come up with some new recurring segments, new formats that we think are going to be good. So look for that. Let us know what you guys want. But anyway, that's kind of just a little update. You got something to say, John? You look confused.
Oh, no. I was wondering what Jack was drinking.
That's a look of excitement from John, you know?
Ghost.
My bad, Sam.
All right, let's start out with Novak Djokovic. We saw yesterday he is splitting ties with the PTPA, which he co-founded with Vasek Pospisil. Let me go over to John. You were on the player council with Novak for 10 years. Somewhat big news. What are your thoughts on this whole thing with Novak kind of just cutting ties with the PTPA? You shocked or not really?
Well, I guess it kind of it came as a surprise when you saw when I saw his tweet. And by the way, the first like six words of his tweet, if you're reading it, it made it seem like he was like retiring from tennis.
That's what I thought too.
I'm sure a lot of people got scared, a lot of Novak fans, but yeah, a little bit of a surprise. I think the PTPA has lost a lot of momentum. They would probably say otherwise. I was very heavily involved with the organization from the get-go. Really started, if you guys remember it, that the COVID US Open. We all met on the grandstand court there, and things seemed to be going well. But, you know, we're almost six years into the PTPA, and they have been trying hard. They have been, but they've just been running up against it seemingly like a brick wall every single time they're trying to make some headway for the players. I don't, of course, know what went on with Novak and the PTPA. I've been sort of disassociated with them since I retired, just don't really have the time for it. But yeah, it's a surprise, and it's a huge blow to the agenda of the PTPA when you have the greatest player of all time to step down and back away from the organization that he founded. It's going to be, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see what happens with them going forward.
Yeah, this is the quote from Novak. Quote, ongoing concerns regarding transparency, governance, and the way my voice and image have been represented. So obviously there's like an internal fight between Novak and the PTPA.
It didn't seem amicable.
No.
Not at all.
Right? It just throw out a tweet kind of right before. Stevie, you have any secondary thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, I think it's just crazy because, I mean, Novak obviously was spearheading this. I think this was going to be his... I mean, obviously everything he's achieved on the court is one thing. You know, that's... You can't change that. But this was going to be something where the players actually got a union or, you know, association of kinds where everybody was on board to kind of get transparency from the tour because, you know, maybe the outsiders don't quite know that the tour is pretty segmented. You know, the ATP, the ITF, the Grand Slams, everything is so different. There's not a lot of transparency we feel as players in Novak and Vasek at the time. This is what they wanted, right? Like, this is exactly what they were trying to do. And look, you know, there was good steam. Obviously, if you have Novak's name attached to anything, you're going to be immediately given a seat at the table because of his stature and his status in the game. But man, like, there's been nothing the last 4 or 5 years, I feel like. I mean, we'd get correspondence every once in a while. You'd get things like, oh, big things are ahead, big things on the horizon. And nothing has shaken out. And I think it's unfortunate because I do feel like everybody's intentions were good on that behalf. But it's just hard in the tennis world. We're so global. We have too many guys in too many parts of the world where not everybody's values align correctly. And obviously Novak feels that way. But it did kind of scare. I will say John is correct. Like, you read the first line of that tweet, you're like, oh my God, he's retired. Like, he stopped before Australia. And like, that's insane. But... it seems like something big has happened. I don't know what the standing is. Like John has said, we've all been kind of disassociated since we retired, but it's crazy. There just hasn't been enough progress, even from what I've heard. Like, nobody knows what's going on. Nobody even knows what they're fighting for at this point. So that's kind of an issue with the PTPA in general. You know, felt like we were all on board as players because we wanted transparency, but now we just don't know what the end game is.
Yeah, it feels like... Ultimately, if the players want to have a union or association, they all got to be on the same page. The players are not on the same page. If you go to baseball, the Dodgers and the Giants can't stand each other. Yet when it comes to union and coming together, they are on the same page. Like, I'm just not sure if they're going to get it going. But anyway, we're going to move on.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about. That's the advantage, like the advantage, if you want to call it, like the tour has over the players. We're just so spread out over the world in different time zones. And, you know, our careers as players are so finite. So you're just focused on keeping your ring high, winning matches, you know, trying to get your bonuses from your contracts and whatnot. And you're just, players are singularly focused on that, and they don't really have the bandwidth to fight for players' rights. And that's what Novak, which was so incredible, what he was doing as the number one player in the world for all these years. I was in countless meetings with Novak on the ATP Player Council side, on the PTPA Player Council side, 2 days before these Grand Slams. And you have Novak just sitting in a meeting room for 4 hours talking about the agenda of the PTPA or what's going on with the ATP when he was part of the Player Council, the president of the Player Council. What he's done and how he's fought for the players is super admirable. So I'm sure he had really, really good reason to step down from the PTPA like he did yesterday.
Yeah, I think you summarized that really well just then. All right, in a couple days we've got like, I don't know, it's called Super Exo. We got Alcaraz and Sinner in an Exo together in South Korea. We know like Alcaraz has played a bunch of Exos over the offseason. Sinner has not. I want to go around. Start with Jack. What do we think each of them is getting paid for the Super Exo? Let me start with this. Do you think they're getting paid the same?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
I do too. What's the number, Jack? How much are they each getting to go to South Korea January 10th, about a week or so before the Australian Open starts to play in the Super Exo?
1.5 each?
No one knows. I'm thinking, I'll go next. I think $2.5 million each.
Okay.
Stevie?
I'd say enough to pay Juan Carlos Ferrero's salary for the year, but you know.
That's really good.
There's zero chance that Alcaraz and Ferrero broke up over salary dispute. I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it did. Yeah, sorry. That's a whole other topic, but yes, I don't think that's the case. But they're getting paid a lot of money to go to South Korea the week before a slam. Yes.
Yeah. Jack 1.5, me 2.5. CV didn't answer. John,
I'll split the difference.
No, I'd say 1.5 and like three economy class tickets for his team.
I'll split the difference. Are they playing in is it Seoul? I assume
it's got to be Seoul. What other cities in South Korea? Anyone know a city?
Busan.
Busan.
But yeah, that's gonna be. I wonder if that'll be televised. That'll be like in the U.S.
I wonder if Kim Jong-un is seeing this and maybe thinking, oh, let's get him to North Korea.
What's the number? What's the number to go play an EXO in North Korea?
That's a big...
$50 million? $50 million, you roll to North Korea?
Yeah, probably.
What's our number to do a live pod from North Korea?
$10,000.
We would, yeah, $10,000, yeah.
$10,000 a hotel security room. Guy. Anyway, also this week, we'll start talking about tournaments here. We got the United Cup. We got Brisbane. Australian Open qualifying begins soon. Adelaide. We've already got a couple withdrawals, which is a bummer. I'm going to go back to Jack Draper withdraws.
Yeah.
This ongoing elbow issue, such a bummer. Like, he crushed it one Indian Wells last year, and just the elbow has let him down. Are we worried he's going to not be able to get back like into the top? I mean, his ranking is going to continue to drop here a little bit, especially after Indian Wells, assuming he doesn't win it. Are you worried that it's going to take him a while to like get the mojo back? Or do you think he's good enough, got the game, that he's just going to, you know, give it a month or two and pop right back to that level that he was pre getting hurt?
I think it'll take a minute. I think like any of us know, once you come back from an injury, it's not easy just to like get right back into the form you're in or the level you're playing at. I do think it's a strange, because he was playing at the US Open last year, and it wasn't like I didn't seem like a crazy injury. Like, he was almost like playing through it during that match, and then like decided to retire mid-match, if I remember. And then for it to take this long when you're kind of playing on it and it's still bothering you, I think that's a little more concerning for me than just a flat out injury that happened, you know, that either, you know, a practice court or something, or off court training. So I would say that's a little bit concerning if it's still bothering. And obviously left arm, that's his weapon. I don't know. I think it'll be maybe a little bit of a struggle when he comes back. Obviously hope not. He was the player of the year for the most part last year going into that, I feel like. I hope he comes back and can ball out immediately. But I would say it's a little bit concerning that it was playable to a degree and then still bothering him 6 months later almost.
Targeting the comeback at Indian Wells. So first tournament back, it's like, hey, welcome back. You have 1,000 points to defend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so he's not even like, he's already said no to you know, feel Rotterdam like or whatever.
I don't know these, if he said events. No. He's just targeting that as a
That's 6 months. But, so that's at least protected ranking for him. I mean, not that it really matters, but if he doesn't, you know, from the US Open to there, he'll get a protected ranking.
Yeah.
So he might be healthy before then, but if he waits into the extra 3 weeks, you know, then he's
obviously
he'll get wild cards into things, but he'll have, you know, whatever, a dozen tournaments at nine in the world or something.
You know how that works, right, Jack?
Yeah, it's something I would have missed for sure. I would have come back. I would have come back. I would have come back if I would have come back at 5 months and 3 weeks and played a tournament and not gotten it protected. And
Jack would have been playing a Qualies Future.
I would have been playing Qualies of Delray just trying to get some points. And
Holger Rune out, as we know. Arthur Fies is the other like big one. Like quietly, just that back has not gotten better. Stevie, you got any? You don't have any updates on that at all?
Like, I don't have any updates, but
usually
all
just
I know
a little back tweak is like comes back. But now this has been over 6 months.
I want him back because he is so much fun to watch. Like, I mean, he's one of my favorite players to watch for sure. But again, for these guys, like he hasn't played in a long time. I get like travel's a lot easier these days. But if you're him, you take an extra 3 weeks off. You just miss Australia. I know it's annoying, but he's already missed slams. It's not like he's got, you know, something going on. And then he comes back. He can play those, you know, a 250 in France. Then he can play Rotterdam, right? He can stay in friendly confines and not really travel for the next 6 weeks to really see how the back is and playing. So it makes sense. I mean, you don't want to miss tournaments. It does make sense that he's just skipping Australia. If the back, you know, maybe he's 90%, 95%. He just wants to get 100%. Doesn't want to travel all the way down there just in case. So, you know, with tournaments in his, you know, in his backyard right after Australia, does make a little bit of sense. But I do miss him playing tennis because the way he hits his forehand and moves, it's a joke. Like, I want to see him back out there. It's insane.
Am I crazy or is he presenting a trophy at like the next gen finals or something too?
He was.
Like he was. Okay, so he was like traveling and stuff, but
I think he lives in, you know, a safe tax haven.
You think he lives in Saudi Arabia?
I think he's over in like Dubai. He's like one of those guys, you know, he's close by.
He probably lives in the Middle East. João Fonseca pulls out of the first tournament of the year with a lower back injury. Taylor Fritz has some crazy knee tendonitis. He lost to Sebastian Baez in his first round of the United Cup and then mentioned like, was pretty upfront, like, I have bad tendonitis in my knee. I'm going to try to rehab it and get it better, but we'll see. John, is there any concern with Fonseca or Fritz here?
I would say more concerned with Fritz, not so much Fonseca. Maybe he's just playing that super safe, super conservative. It's a 250. Okay, it's not that big of a deal, but we all know Fritz and the miles he has put on his body over the last 6 years. You hope it's not a case where that's catching up to him now. I can't imagine he had much of an offseason. He played the year in finals, of course, in Turin. He goes to Tokyo, which was cool, but then he played an exhibition in Charlotte. And the next thing you know, like he like pops up in Perth. Like, so you can't imagine he had too much time to rest. And I know a lot of people make, you know, sort of make this statement about Fritz, how he just always seems to play, doesn't seem to train and rest that much. And he's really shut up the naysayers over the last handful of years because he does play a lot. But again, you just have to imagine that at some point this could all catch up to him. We hope maybe this is just an acute injury, kind of just flared up in Perth, but maybe it could be something, a sign of something much, much more serious, but we all hope not.
You know who shut up Fritz at the United Cup? Baez. You see when Fritz hit the lob and gave the little, kind of give the short joke?
No, he didn't sort of give it. He ran with the too short joke. Yeah,
he ran with the too short joke.
Yeah. He ran across the baseline with the too short. And then that was the game changer. I feel like it was all downhill from there.
If you're going to hit that, you have to win the match.
You better win the match, man.
For him to do that and lose,
you got to win in straights. I feel like even if you go three and it like gets a little weird, you got to close him out in the next 30 minutes after that.
Yeah, but stuff like first match of the year, like animosity can't be that high. First match of the year, right?
I know. What does he have against?
Baez seems like the coolest dude.
He seems like the nicest guy. Like no issues, but you can't hit it like first match of the year, dude. You got to wait till like, I don't know, February, March.
This is my problem. Tennis, we got tennis players trying to bring in sellies and stuff that just aren't around in tennis and just, yeah.
Stevie, did you just say Fritzy, like as we were talking on him and like maybe his body breaking down, did you just say he won six in the third?
Just beat Munar, yeah. So, I mean, we're recording this Monday morning and he just beat Munar. 8-6 in the third set buster down in Perth.
In a 3-hour, 15-minute matchup. He already shut me up.
He, well, Yeah, but like, again, like this is, you know, yeah, it's just tricky because, I mean, obviously I was saw Fritz a lot in the off season. I mean, this tennis is a joke. You know, hopefully he's healthy because, like, he doesn't, I mean, at this point, I don't know if he really cares about Perth. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, yeah.
Cares about Australia. So, you know, I don't think he's playing the second week of the year. So hopefully he's just healthy. Like, this is just maybe getting the body going again, playing some matches. And, you know, you never know how the body feels one way in practice and feels, you know, a completely different after you actually play a competitive match. So hopefully for him, this is kind of what he needs. He knows he can play through it and he'll be fine. Look, he's a gamer.
Yeah.
If he has one knee going into Australia, I still think he's going to make a quarter, and then we'll see.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
He's going to play. A couple big wild cards announced at the Australian Open. Venus Williams, 45 years old, wild card at the Australian Open. Jack, do you think she just kind of gets wild cards until she decides to retire, that big a name? Or is this like there's maybe not some good up-and-coming Australian Open women that would trump her over a wild card? Regardless, she had that little kind of mini run in the summer last year. You know, she beat Peyton Stearns in D.C., played well at the U.S. Open. I don't know. Thoughts on Venus getting the wild card in Aussie?
That's just all name recognition and obviously well deserved for the career that she's had. I don't think it's because there's not maybe some young Aussie women that could use one or deserve one. I think that's name recognition. She obviously still has a solid level in there to compete. Obviously, we'll see what the draw looks like and who she gets. I would say there's probably some handful of matches she can battle in and maybe win. I don't like her odds and probably a lot of them, but I guess we'll see. And who knows? Maybe they went to the tournament and said this is my last Australian Open at 45 and would love a main draw wild card. It could be a farewell tour this year for her. You never know, though. I mean, it's.
She could play until she's 50.
You never know.
There's no way you could be playing tennis in 10 years. None of us.
Yeah. The other big one, Nick Kyrgios. I kind of like that Craig Tiley, he made him sweat this out. I think a lot of people would have thought just like, oh, obviously Kyrgios is getting a wild card in the men's draw. But it was kind of a topic of discussion here for the last month. I guess we're not surprised that he got a wild card. Right, John?
No.
You got to give him one.
Yeah, I mean, he's blockbuster, especially in Australia.
In Australia. Does he have any chance to make a quarterfinal or better?
No.
No, I don't think so either. Are we all in agreement on this one?
I think he can win one match.
Yeah.
This is the body, yeah. Right? He hasn't played in forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's just the issue, right? Like, can he physically hold up? He hasn't been shown that he can do it for whatever, 3-4 years now. Like, even if he plays one match, like, his level's there, but he's just not going to be able to sustain it. There's just, I don't see it, but yeah, it's the crowd will be full. The stands will be packed. No doubt about it.
He's playing doubles at Brisbane. Him and Kokkinakis took out Rahm and Ebden last night in a unbelievable
took
match.
Took out Rajiv and Matt Ebden.
Yep. Yeah. Good first big round win. Matchup. Big win.
Wow.
All right. The biggest tournament this week. Biggest tournament this week is the United Cup. John, you played the United Cup, right? Are you the only one that's played the United Cup out of this group?
No, I never played the United Cup. I played the ATP Cup.
ATP Cup, which is kind of evolved into
the United
Cup. I played
it in Perth, yeah.
First question, Steve, does the general public care who wins the United Cup? My thoughts on this is no. I know it's a big event. Last year, the U.S. won it even, right? Fritz and Coco Gauff won it. After the tournament ended, not one time during the year on ESPN, on TNT, on Tennis Channel, anywhere, did I hear anyone say,
"No,
oh, you won the United Cup, you won this and this." I know it takes a long time for tournaments to gain momentum and build into something, but this is a very cool event, I'll say that. But I do not think tennis fans care necessarily who wins this event. Stevie, you in agreement with that?
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares. I mean, in the way it shifted over the last however many years, it went from, two singles, men and women, then to the maybe just mixed, and now it's just one singles, like against each team. So, if you have a good, like Fritz and Coco Gauff, like yeah, like healthy, they should win the tournament because they could win the singles and be done with it. But no, I don't think anybody cares. I think it's just a glorified practice and a huge payday for like some of these smaller countries that like you have, you know, Greece or whoever, like, you know, Tsitsipas gets in and then the next guy is going to get paid like, you know, $100,000 just to sit there. So it's like huge for those countries that like have a high number one and then their number two might not be ranked as high just to get that big payday, which is good.
Dennis Kudla.
Dennis Kudla, exactly. It was, you know, good friend, you know, not afraid to pick up a check at United Cup.
Yeah. More importantly than the money is the points are.
It's a joke.
Giant in this event. I mean, so you can get there and you can probably, you can lean, if your teammate, their number one women's single or vice versa, and if you lean on that teammate to maybe help you get to the finals and you happen to win one or two matches in the semis in the final, I mean, points are giant. It's like bigger than winning a 500. Next thing you know, I mean, I think Taylor Fritz started the year off with like 600 points or something last year.
Yeah, like last year was like 600 points and like a million, like 1.1 million.
It's a huge way to start the year.
So people know there's about 12 million in total prize money. If you're a top 10 player and you kind of go undefeated in pool play, win the title, you can walk away with over $1 million. Top 10 players get 250,000 to show up. They try to make it like a Masters series in that sense with the money and the points, but it is just maybe look, fast forward a decade, maybe it will turn into this big event. But as of right now, I don't think players or fans necessarily care about it like they do a Masters series. If you're like, hey, would I rather win Indian Wells or Madrid or United Cup? It's not even a, it's not even a question.
Would y'all, and Jack, I know you played the Hopman Cup. I played that tournament. Like, it's kind of sucks that the Hopman Cup's not around.
No, that was a really fun event.
That was an institution, and there was no points, obviously. It was an exhibition, but that was an institution.
Know there's points in this.
And of course you didn't. That was like an institution like in Hopman Perth, but people actually talked about the Hopman Cup for like, that was a huge event to start the calendar year. And that event without points.
Hey, Hopman Cup's not dead. Just ask Sam.
Oh, yeah.
You commentated on it. I've never been more confused in my life.
I know. It always, like, I mean, John played it. Jack played it. I was always jealous, like, watching you guys down there. But Hopman Cup, too, Federer would play. Zverev would play. Like, they would get, I mean, any given year, three or four guys in the top eight in the world to play Hopman Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, you got three guaranteed matches at that time, right?
Every single session sold out at the Hopman Cup. Like, this, the United Cup, you could have, like, you know, I remember last year was like Georgia got in, right? And it was like Georgia's number two because Bachelor Zavili pulled out. He was like 385 ranked against 456.
No, you're good. I was just saying Hopman was also fun because they had like that big gala ball thing like around New Year's Eve. And like it was a really nice way to like get the year started and like, I don't know, like kind of ease your way into a fresh season instead of instead of just straight into like an event tournament.
Like Group E right now, you have Billy Harris, Tsitsipas, and Shintaro Mochizuki. Like, I don't know.
Dude, you're crushing the names right now. Billy Harris, you crushed that one, dude.
Let's move on. I love when I get a Billy Harris. All right, let's move on. We're gonna come up with our bold takes for 2026. Each of us have put together a few bold takes that we think could possibly happen during the year. So we're going to go around the horn right now. We're going to start with John Isner. Give us your first bold take in tennis for 2026.
Okay. And I'm sure that this is one that I think a lot of people might say, but I think on the men's side, we will have a Grand Slam winner that's not Sinner or Alcaraz.
I want to go next to follow that because I thought about doing that for a second. And then I flipped to, I kind of think Sinner is going to win all four majors. So my bold take is Sinner wins all four majors this year. What's more likely, Sinner winning all four or someone other than Sinner and Alcaraz winning one?
Sinner winning all four more likely. That was going to be mine.
Do you think like if you went to like Poly Market? The odds have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean like the calendar Grand Slam. I
got Lerner, Tien and Joao Fonseca, both in the top 15 year end. Give me two young guys.
Yeah.
Just storming the castle.
That's not crazy. That's bold.
That's bold. Yeah. We're doing bold takes right now.
We are doing bold takes.
It was the title of the segment.
Who's got a better chance to make top 15? If you had to bet one right now.
I think Fonseca, but I think that's just bias on how flashy
I'm
gonna
say
he
Lerner.
Is.
Though. Yeah. He's so quiet about his business.
Yeah.
I got one. We're going to have a and this, I don't know if this qualifies as bold. I want to talk to you. We're going to have a new Grand Slam champion on the women's side, an American, a new American first time champ. And you know, whether it's,
that's basically Amanda Anamasova or Pegula. Emma Navarro.
Pagula.
God, there's a lot. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah. So
I like that.
I'm going to piggyback on John's, if that's all right.
Yep. Yep. Go for it.
I got Amanda Anamasova, number one in the world.
You're at number one or just at number one at some point?
I have this both ways. I'm going to go with even, I think she's going to get to number one at some point for sure. And I think she's going to finish the year end number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go bold.
I kind of like
that's
that.
Bold. That's bold.
Go bold. That's it.
Yeah.
Jack, Amanda Anamasova have a chance to year end number one.
No.
Ah, oh, yeah. You can see it. All right. That's fair.
No.
That's
fair.
All right. My next one is we're going to get like a blockbuster new like spicy relationship on tour, whether that's two top 10 players dating or like a current top or like an Alcaraz is like publicly dating like a superstar.
We're 0-1 on these so far on bold predictions, Sam. You are, but keep swinging, pal.
Or like Coco Gauff will be like publicly dating a superstar. So not necessarily the players dating, but like there's just going to be a big time new relationship that's going to drop on the tour this year.
What's the biggest right now on tour? It's got to be Shelton and Trinity.
Shelton and Trinity. Sure. Yeah. I'm talking, remember when like Serena dated Drake for a second?
Yeah.
I think it's time. We're like, we're going to get something like that to trickle. Tennis is hot right now. Like we got young stars everywhere and something like that is going to hit the airwaves this year.
Okay. That's a hot, bold take.
Hot, bold take. John, you got another one?
I'm going to say, and I thought about this, I thought about which involves Novak Djokovic. I'm going to say he's semifinals all four Grand Slams again.
There's just,
is that bold?
No.
That's super bold.
You're just going safe.
Yeah, okay, I'll say this. Let me rephrase it. I think he has a better year this year than he does last year.
Okay.
So he accumulates more points this year. So you think he's going to play more of a schedule then?
I think he, you know, he didn't play at the end of the year. He's been practiced. He's got a new setup in Greece. I kind of like the mojo he has going right now. I know he stepped away from the PTPA. He doesn't have that kind of weighing on him. I think it's just pure business. And
you're convincing me.
I don't think he's going to win a Grand Slam, and I hope I'm wrong. But he's not the guy I think that's going to win a Grand Slam apart from
noted.
Sinner or Alcaraz.
Noted.
Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I think that for Alcaraz's standards, there's maybe a tiny bit of a lull and there's going to be a Ferrero-Alcaraz reconnection at some point this year back in the box. Work things out, put it aside. He's going to miss looking over having what seemed like a almost family type relationship with him.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think he's back in the box at before the end of the year.
If you're Juan Carlos, you're like, you make Carlos beg if he.
Yeah, I think it's
publicly.
It'll break the tennis internet. It'll be a big story, big news, and he'll be back.
You're gonna need Carlos to have a little fumble out of the beginning of the year and kind of bow out early.
If he doesn't win the French, I think he's like back.
If Carlos loses third round of Australian Open, that's just going to be the story of just of the year. Just, well, see, you fired. Everyone's going to overreact to it.
Yeah.
100%. Completely overreact. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me pop another one in. I think US Open's going to pay out 150 grand for first round prize money this year.
That's too steep of a jump. What was it this year? 100?
110 or something.
110. I think they're going to go to 150 next year.
2026. Maybe I'll start playing again.
Yeah. 150. Yeah, we should all start playing again if they do that.
Off.
Stevie, you got one more for us?
Novak Djokovic wins Wimbledon 2026 for number 25. Book it.
In order for him to do that, do you think he can beat Sinner Alcaraz along the way?
Don't know how it's going to get done, boys, but he's going to get it done. Don't know how it's going to get done. That's not my job to answer these questions. I'm sitting in a chair predicting, making bold predictions. It's his job to figure out to make me look good.
All right. Those are good. Those are some good. Any more or no? That way,
I hope I hit on one of my three.
Yeah, we'll see if any of those hit. I thought those were pretty good. We'll recircle back December 2026 and see if any of these bold predictions turn out correct. I think we're going to get some of them right.
Which one's most likely to get right?
You throw enough crap against the wall, something's going to stick. So
I think the most likely to get right would be like a new American women to win a slam.
Okay.
With the three that we mentioned. Amanda to finish number one isn't crazy. And then, I mean, just probably a new spicy relationship that gets the world talking. That seems likely. All right, we got one more fun segment. I've been looking forward to this one. We're going to go around again. Things that have peaked. This isn't necessarily tennis related. It's vague. Things that have peaked. And if you guys want me to start out, I can.
It can be.
It can be anything. It can
be anything you want.
I'm going to go first. Convertibles. No one buys a convertible anymore. I don't think it's there. You don't see convertible bugs. You don't see the convertible Chryslers. I just like convertibles have peaked.
Convertible bugs.
Right? Right?
Yeah, you're right.
I think those peaked like quite a long time ago. Like, you know, you press the button and the thing kind of goes
back. For the most part, yeah. We're trying to do things that have peaked semi-recently. I guess we can be in disagreement on this, like, but
you guys have been somewhere where like you're at a red light and somebody like taking the convertible down because it's a nice day and the light turns green and you could see like the panic in their face that they just got to sit there until it's down.
That was such a flex back in the day. If you can get the top down at a red light.
Oh, yes.
Didn't even matter the car. It could be just like the worst car ever. You're just like, that guy's crushing. Who wants to go next on this one?
Matcha. I think it's stupid. Everybody's walking around with green drinks. I think it's stupid. It's dead. It's done.
I don't even know what matcha is.
Nobody does. But everybody is walking around with these stupid green drinks. I'm over it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I think the Argentinians, Diego, friend of the pod, Diego Schwartzman, would strongly disagree with you.
I think that's different, though. Is that not?
Yeah, it's a different.
No, that's it. I'm talking like specifically like the green drink that you go to like.
They drink matcha. Argentinians drink matcha in that little homemade cup.
Is it matcha?
They like,
it was like
matcha.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that's what it was called. That was like some matcha.
With the metal straw.
Yeah, it's mate.
Oh, it's mate.
So you guys are wrong again, Samuel.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Jeez. No. Anyway. Louise.
All right, Jack. Things that have peaked.
Things that have peaked. I'm gonna go with 6'7" will not be around anymore.
I like 6'7".
No, it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, but now anytime obviously those two numbers are said, it's just it's so annoying. I hope it's gone.
And it gets said a lot in tennis, unfortunately. So
yeah, and Wiffle.
Yeah.
I think it's slow. This is slowly starting to peak, and I hope it comes to an abrupt end. Is the on my bingo card saying?
Oh yeah. That wasn't on my 2025 bingo card.
Yes.
I'm a big user of that.
Sam, if you ever say that on air, like Sebastian Baez hits three aces in a game, it wasn't on my bingo card, I'm gonna destroy you. So don't ever say it or something.
Oh, I'm gonna use that all the time now.
I'm gonna go out of my way.
Come on, you gotta admit that's annoying. It's been going on for like three years now.
That's a good one.
It's been going for 30 years.
Yeah. All right, I'll go next. I'm gonna go SoulCycle.
Totally.
It's done. Yeah. SoulCycle is done.
It's sad.
It is sad. It had a moment there. I was a user of SoulCycled years ago, but I don't think people are SoulCycling anymore. I think the biking classes in general, all it's really doing is just is working the butt. And I think people want full body workout.
So like berries.
Berries, yeah. Orange Theory, hot yoga.
The one I used to go to in Dallas shut down. I mean, the pandemic just destroyed SoulCycle.
Yeah. Anyway, SoulCycle. Stevie?
I'm not saying that this is not person is not popular, but I don't think they've peaked. It's Taylor Swift.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That is,
she can't get any bigger. She can't get any bigger.
She could just sustain this for another 25 years. Dude.
She's sold out like 365 straight stadiums. Like, you've got to slow down at some point. New engagement, new marriage. Slowing down.
So is Federer peaked? Is Alcaraz peaked? Sinner peaked?
Yeah, Federer peaked a long time ago. Yeah.
But he's still just on top of the world.
Has Novak peaked?
No, there's certain people that never peak. Certain people never peak.
Yeah, certain people never peak. And Taylor Swift is
just saying,
the biggest star in the world. In the world.
Exactly. So if she doesn't continue to stay the biggest star in the world, then she's peaked.
She will.
Okay.
This is a long time. All right, stupid one. Jack.
I just think with, you know, the engagement, the marriage, maybe family on the future, she's slowing down.
She hasn't even married Travis Kelce yet. That's going to make them even like, they're going to be like the all over the news for like another year after that. And then when she has a baby, she's back. And then when she does another tour, it's back.
Just saying.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to find. It's like saying Morgan Wallen has peaked or something. He's going to sell out a stadium every time he's in one.
All right, back to John.
Pickleball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it hit a very high level. I think maybe a plateau, maybe. I don't see it going on this nascent, you know, level and this like just hyperbolic level that it's like it's so fresh, it's so new. Well, not really, but it was, and it was all the rage. And at its beginning, it was great. I would say plateaued.
You agree with that, Jack?
I plead the fifth.
All right, over to me. I'm going to go with the entire country of Greece. I don't really think people are going to Greece anymore. I feel like it was a vacation spot for a while. I don't hear anyone going there. Everyone that went to Greece now goes to the, what are those trendy islands off Spain?
Canary?
Ibiza.
I don't know where that is, but I know where Ibiza is.
Ibiza. Yeah, just Greece, unfortunately. Tsitsipas isn't playing great right now. I feel like the country needs resident, him to do dude. Well.
Yeah, they got Novak living there now. He's gonna.
They do have resident. That does help, but I just think Greece has peaked right now.
Fair.
Stevie?
Yeah, I mean, the last one I kind of had, I didn't really like it, but, you know, it's when everybody started like raw dogging flights, I think it's so stupid. Watch a movie.
Dude, there's no. It's ridiculous. Everyone that says they were raw dogging flights were liars.
Dude, just watch a movie and sit back and chill out, dude.
They filmed that for like 3 minutes and edited it and made it look like they
took an 8-hour flight. We're done with that, right? Like, that's over.
That's over.
It's ridiculous.
I kind of liked it.
Did you ever do it?
No. Hell no. But I like seeing people that did it said that did it.
For those of you who don't know raw dogging, if you went on a flight from L.A. to Dallas, you just sat in the seat. You didn't look at your phone. You didn't watch a movie. You didn't listen to music. You didn't read a book. You just sat there and looked straight ahead for 3.5 hours. I'm saying everyone that claims to have done that is kind of a liar.
No water, no nothing.
Like, so stupid.
No peanuts. It's nonsense. All right, John, you got another one?
I'm good. I'm done.
All right. I've got some honorable mentions of the other things that I think have peaked. Fish tanks are done. No one has a fish tank. Cold plunging, I think, has hit a peak.
Ooh.
I don't know. Pookie and Jet, you know them?
No.
What'd you say?
They're online. They're annoying. Pookie and Jet, they're like an online couple. They're annoying.
Never even heard of those two.
The Circus. That might have already peaked. And then Pomeranians, the little dogs.
people are getting Pom still.
I don't think they're getting Pomeranians any. I feel like Pomeranians like 6 years ago was a big thing.
Just hate dogs.
They're not getting those anymore.
I have one more. I just thought of one.
Okay.
The Hawktua girl.
She's hit rock bottom.
Yeah. That's confirmed. It peaked, right?
She's just.
Yeah. She's.
Yeah. Okay.
On the bottom of the ocean bed.
Come back strong.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one. Been in retirement.
Yeah. All right. Those are hot. Those aren't hot takes. Those are things that have peaked. Let us know if you guys agree, disagree. Maybe there's some better ones we missed. There's got to be a bunch we missed. But anyway, that's our Monday show. We are back. We missed everyone. I missed you guys. I was kind of bummed to not film for a couple weeks, honestly. I like could barely sleep last night. I was so excited to get on here today.
You were excited in the group chat the last few days.
Yeah. So anyway, go subscribe, everyone, on X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We need the subscriptions. We need the subs, as they say in the biz. We'll be back Friday with another episode. See you guys then.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.